I know some people have been working really hard here to answer some questions to get some prizes. So let's see if some people can win some things. Number eight. Is there a number eight here? Somebody leave. Or maybe number eight didn't fill theirs out. You should have a number at the top of your page where it says name and then it says number. There's a number written. Eight's not here. Okay. 13. 13? Okay, stand up. Okay, first question. When and where did Martin Luther nail his 95 theses? All right, you can come up here and get a prize. 24. 24 here? Okay. 16. I think a lot got taken. You're 16? All right. Who was the emperor that Martin Luther spoke to at the Diet of Worms? Question two. Charles the Fifth. That's a Latin form for the fifth, five. But you can come over here and pick something out. All right. Number three. Okay. What was Zwingli's first name? I'll said it. Okay. What was his wife's name? Mm-hmm. What was the name of his beloved stepson? Gerald. You don't have to. If you want to say it all, you can, but Gerald works. All right. You can come over here and get you a prize. Number five. Okay. Who was the first Anabaptist put to death under Swiss Reformed rule? Mm-hmm. Felix Mons. Come over here and pick something out. Number 23. Okay. What were William Tyndale's last words? Okay, very good. You can come over here. 33. Are 33 here somewhere? Okay, you're short. Okay. What did Thomas Cranmer say about the Pope right before he died? I'll give you an easy one if you can't get this one, but maybe you have it. You got it. I'll read it out. You got it, though. And as for the Pope, I utterly refuse him as Christ's enemy and Antichrist with all his false doctrine. That was a big mouthful. But you had the answer. So if you want to come get a prize, you can do that. All right. 35. 35. Okay. The first Reformation song was written by Martin Luther to remember what event in the Netherlands? Okay. Well, we'll give you a chance at something else, okay? Maybe if we call you, okay? All right. 27. Can you give me the answer to the first Reformation song was written by Martin Luther to remember what event in the Netherlands? No. Okay. Try somebody else. 21. 21 here. All right. You don't have it written down? Okay. 18. Do you have the answer? Yep, the first song, Reformation song, was written to commemorate the martyrdom of two monks. Now, you were right. You said the song that the two martyrs, Henry and John, while they were martyred, that was the song they were singing. But the song that Martin Luther wrote was about their martyrdom. So the first Reformation hymn, if you want to call it that, was a ballad about their martyrdom. You can get something there. Number 10. No 10 here. Okay. Number 6. All right. In 1540, Menno Simons published his most important book. What was its title? Okay. Number 7. You know the answer. Mm-hmm. And that book also sometimes is just referred to as the foundation book. Number 12. All right. What did George Wissert do at the breakfast table the morning of his martyrdom? Okay, and then he administered the Lord's Supper, but you can get a prize there. Number 19. 19 here? Number 14? Number 15? Okay. How did God use a dog to provide the needs of John Craig? Okay, there you go. You can come up and get a prize. That'd be kind of nice, right? All right, number 9. Number 9. Okay, number 4. All right. What city did William Farrell, John Calvin, and Pierre Verret work to reform? Mm-hmm. You can get a prize. Number 2. Okay. In which year did Antoine de la Chaire write the French Confession of Faith? 54? 59. Yeah, you can get a prize. Okay, number 20. Number 20 here. Okay, number 20. True or false? The center of the Waldensian church was in Seven Valleys in the Alps of Savoy. You're right. You can get a prize. There's some candy up here for you. All right. 37. 37. 38. 31. Okay, 31. Waldensian delegate George Morel and Pierre Messin met with which reformer? Uh-oh. Okay. 32? 32? 26? 28? Okay. Can you tell me which reformer Waldensian delegates met with? Do you know, have any names? Okay. Well, you're right. I'll let you get a prize. William Farrell would be the answer I'm looking for, but Haller, Osolimpidis, Bucer, and Capino also met with them. Okay. Well, we're not done. 25. 25 here somewhere? Okay, number one. Number one? Okay. What other name was Johannes Bugenhagen known by? Question 15. Pomeranius, yes. Because he was from Pomerania. So you can come get a prize. 30? Any 30? Okay, 34? All right. Question 16. Who were the two brothers that translated the Bible into Swedish? You can come get a prize. Oh, okay. Now we see the truth comes out. No. Well, whoever it is can come get a prize. Somebody won a prize. Okay, 17. 17 here? 11? Okay. True or false? Matthias de Vay, the Hungarian reformer, stayed with Luther when he traveled to Wittenberg. Okay, come get a prize. 22? Okay. In which country did Prince Nicholas Radziwill work to advance the Reformation? Very good. 36? 38? 40? Somebody took them, but they didn't fill them out. 41? Okay. Now, who answered a question? If you answered a question but got it wrong and didn't get a prize, you can stand up. I'll let you have another chance to answer one. I know a couple of you did. You both did. You can stand. All right. Can you answer which country is Seville in? Now, question number 19. All right. You can get a prize. All right. Does anybody else want to try for the last three questions? You had answered and you hadn't got one. Do you know either one of the last three? You can pick which one you want to give me the answer to. Okay, 20, go ahead. What's the answer? Spanish. These two reformers worked to translate the Spanish Bible. Very good. You can come get a prize. All right, anybody else? Okay, very good. You want to give me the answer to question 22. How many siblings did this Italian reformer have? 22. Yep, you got it. He was the youngest of 22. So there's a reason why his family sent him into the church. All right. Is there anybody else that didn't? Is there anybody who has a questionnaire who wants to answer a question? There's one question left. Did you not answer one? You have a prize. Anybody who does not have a prize who wants to answer a question? Okay. Can you answer the last one? What year? What number 21? What were the years of Peter Martyr's birth and death. Did you get them? Can you choose a question and read it to me and give me the answer, and then I'll let you have a prize. You go ahead. You read me the question and then give me the answer. Mm-hmm. All right. Read the question? What did the question say? Great. You got it. You can go to prize. Okay. You can take two of those if you want. Go ahead. You can take two of those if you want. All right. Now we're going to turn to discussing the history of the English Bible. But let's pray here. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are blessed to have the Bible in our language that we can learn from, that we don't have to learn Greek or Hebrew or Latin to be able to hear what you have to say to us. We just thank you for that. And we just pray that we would be thankful for it and take advantage of the fact that we have your word in our language. In your son's name, amen. The most important thing that we have inherited from the Reformation is the Bible in our own language. As English speakers, we have inherited one of, if not the, most accurate and beautiful translations of the Bible into any language. The authorized King James Version is the culmination of the scholarship, prayers, tears, sacrifice, and martyrdom of many different men who are among the greatest men of the English Reformation. The authorized version is the most lasting and most universally blessing and most important spiritually and cultural changing thing to come out of the English Reformation. John Wycliffe is often referred to as the morning star of the Reformation. Over 150 years before Luther nailed his 95 theses, Wycliffe, the leading professor in the leading university in Europe, that is Oxford, began preaching against the tyranny, error, and corruption of Rome. Wycliffe saw the need for England to have an English Bible, so he translated the Bible out of Latin into English, even though it was illegal to do so. The Fourth Lateran Council in 1215 and the Council of Toulon in 1229 forbade laymen to read the Bible either in the language of the people or in Latin. And the Council of Tarragon in 1242 prohibited the clergy from reading the Bible in anything but Latin. So to produce a Bible for the people in the common tongue was clearly forbidden by the Church of Rome. Wycliffe translated most of the New Testament, while his aide, Nicholas Hereford, did much of the work in translating the Old Testament, until he was forced to flee the country to save his life. John Purvey then helped finish and then later edit and revise Wycliffe's Bible. The translation included a long preface in which Wycliffe severely rebuked the corruption of the clergy, condemned the worship of saints and images, denied transubstantiation, and exhorted all people to study the scripture. Papal bull after papal bull was issued against Wycliffe. Five of them in 1 month. And a papal bull is a decree from the Pope. And this instance to condemn or to excommunicate. But Wycliffe quietly persevered, preparing his Bible for the common people. His translation of his Bible was completed in 1380. He took the greatest pains to make it plain. He put aside all kinds of foreign terms and scholastic words and used the language of the commonest of people. Wycliffe had hundreds of copies made of his translation, all hand copied. Usually would take about a year for one copyist to complete the scripture. He also trained lay preachers to take the Bibles and go throughout all England, two by two, preaching the gospel. People flocked to hear the word preached. These preachers and their followers became known as Lollards. His Bible and its revisions were spread throughout all England. We know that it was still being read by people up until the printing of Tyndale's Bible in the 1530s. Some of the wording of Tyndale's Bible comes straight from Wycliffe's translation and was then carried over into the authorized King James Version. Some examples of this is the use of the word mote and beam in one's eye. The straight gate, to make whole, to compass land and sea, the son of perdition, and enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. All of these were wording coming straight out of Wycliffe's translation. In response to Wycliffe's translation, the Archbishop of Underell ordered in 1408 that no unauthorized person should hereafter translate any portion of the Holy Scripture into English, and that no such book should be read either in whole or part, publicly or privately, that was composed in the time of John Wycliffe or since, under the penalty of the greater excommunication, end quote. William Tyndale is the most important translator of the English Bible. Scholars say that 85 to perhaps 92% of the authorized version of the New Testament and 76% of the Old Testament is the direct work of Tyndale and his co-laborers. William Tyndale was born in Gloucestershire around 1490 and entered Oxford University at a very young age, where he was known as a superb student and a man of pure moral character. He began studying Erasmus's Greek New Testament, which was the first printed version of the Greek New Testament. It was first printed in 1516. Tyndale then began to give lectures on what he had learned from the scriptures. These lectures were too pure in doctrine for those at Oxford, so he moved to Cambridge. Tyndale became close friends with Thomas Bilney, who had been converted through reading Erasmus's Greek New Testament, as well as a then 18-year-old John Frith. Tyndale, Bilney, and Frith spent much time in Bible study, prayer, as well as sharing the gospel with fellow students and the people of Cambridge. Tyndale also became friends with Thomas Cranmer, Miles Coverdale, Nicholas Ridley, and Hugh Latimer, to whom Bilney had already shared the gospel. All of these men would meet at the White Horse Inn to discuss matters of doctrine and would later play a role in the Reformation of England. Sir John Walsh of Sudbury Hall in Gloucestershire hired Tyndale as a tutor for his children. Being well liked by his master, Tyndale usually ate at his table, where he met abbots, archdeacons, doctors, and other learned men, with whom he entered into many discussions on the writings of Luther and Erasmus. which gave him the opportunity to open the scripture and share what God's word had to say. During these discussions, Tyndale exposed the manifold errors of the Roman Church and made many enemies among the clergy. Once, when Tyndale was in the company of a learned man, and while discussing the scripture with him, the man burst out with, "We were better to be without God's law than the Pope's." To which Tyndale replied, "I defy the Pope and all his laws. If God spare my life ere many years, I will cause a boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scripture than thou dost." Soon after this, in 1523, Tyndale left the Walsh family because of the danger of falling into the hands of the local clergy. Tyndale went to London, where he spent much of his time in public preaching. One of those that heard him preach was Humphrey Monmouth, who opened his home for Tyndale to stay in. Monmouth would become one of Tyndale's chief supporters. Tyndale's friend, John Frith, came from Oxford and joined him in London, and they both tirelessly worked for 6 months on translating the New Testament from Greek into English. During this time, the persecution of Protestants greatly increased in London, and Luther's works were being publicly burned. Tyndale said, "If to possess the works of Luther expose one to the stake, how much greater must be the crime of translating the scriptures." When Frith returned to Oxford, he was imprisoned for going to help Tyndale. Frith was put into a dark, foul-smelling cell under the college, where he spent the next 3 years. Tyndale set sail for Hamburg. John Rowe, formerly a Franciscan friar, joined him in Hamburg, and the two restarted the labor of translating the Bible. In 1524, the Gospel of Matthew and Mark were printed and sent to Humphrey Monmouth to be distributed. After traveling to visit Luther and Wittenberg, Tyndale went to Cologne, where he had printed 3,000 copies of the English New Testament, which were all destroyed by the authorities. He then went to Worms in 1525, where he printed 1,500 copies, which did reach England. Soon after, Henry VIII publicly condemned Tyndale, his work, and anyone that helped him. In the preface to the Bible, Tyndale wrote, quote, "Give diligence unto the words of eternal life, by the which, if we repent and believe them, we are born anew, created afresh, and enjoy the fruits of the blood of Christ." The Bibles were smuggled into London and put into Thomas Garrett's house. Thomas Garrett quietly worked to distribute them throughout London, Cambridge, and Oxford. While distributing Bibles in Oxford, Garrett was arrested and thrown into prison. In 1528, after being released from prison, John Frith joined Tyndale in Marburg to help him with the printing of the Bibles. In 1529, Tyndale met and worked with Miles Coverdale, who was working on translating the Bible into English. Tyndale and Frith then traveled to Antwerp, where Tyndale stayed in the house that was an Englishman, Thomas Ponnes, who kept a lodging house for English merchants. During this time, John Frith married. While in Antwerp, Tyndale printed more Bibles. The night that the Bibles were smuggled out, he prayed, "O God, draw this sharp sword from the scabbard. Strike, wound, cut asunder the soul and the flesh, so that man be divided in two and set at variance with himself, may be in peace with thee to all eternity. Amen. While in Antwerp, John Frith rejected infant baptism and was rebaptized. And there is some evidence that he led Tyndale to the same beliefs on baptism. In 1532, Frith returned to England and began going house to house sharing the gospel, and so was quickly imprisoned. Frith was burned at the stake on July 4th, 1533, at Smithfield. In 1534, 2 years later, Miles Coverdale rejoined Tyndale in his work. That same year, John Rogers traveled to Antwerp as a chaplain to English merchants. While there, he met Miles Coverdale and William Tyndale, who led him out of the Roman darkness to salvation. John Rogers joined Tyndale to help translate the Old Testament. Soon after this, Henry Phillips came from England under the direction of Cardinal Wolsey, a leading force in Henry VIII's government. Phillips was tall, very handsome, well-learned, and had had manners and appearance of a gentleman. Tyndale quickly became friends with Phillips, despite Ponet's counsel and misgivings about him. Tyndale got Phillips a room near him and took him fully in his confidence. One day, Phillips suggested they go out for dinner. As they left Ponet's house, they passed through a narrow passage, and Philip, being the taller of the two, insisted that Tyndale go through first. Phillips had arranged for two soldiers to lay in wait at the end of the passage to capture Tyndale. Tyndale was thrown into prison in Brussels. Thomas Ponet tirelessly labored for Tyndale's release, while Phillips just as zealously worked for Tyndale's death. Phillips was also able to secure Ponet's arrest, who was imprisoned for 13 weeks until he was miraculously able to escape and flee to England. John Rogers was able to save the work that had been done on the Old Testament, which was just about ready to be printed. While Tyndale was imprisoned, he did all he could to share the gospel with those in the castle. His trial lasted about a year and a half, and on October 6th, 1536, William Tyndale was burned at the stake. He calmly said, "I call God to record that I have never altered against the voice of my conscience one syllable of his word, nor would do this day if all the pleasures, honors, and riches of the earth might be given me." As the executioners tied him to the stake, Tyndale cried out, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." In 1535, during Tyndale's imprisonment, Coverdale was approached by Thomas Cromwell, a leading official in Henry VIII's government, asking him to prepare an English Bible. Coverdale, unlike Tyndale, did not translate from the Greek and Hebrew, but from the German Luther Bible, the Zurich Bible, and the Latin Vulgate Bible. He also incorporated much of Tyndale's translation work. This Bible was known as the Coverdale Bible. The Coverdale Bible was the first complete Bible printed in English. The Coverdale Bible was not as strictly accurate as Tyndale's, but it was more poetic and more appealing to the ear. John Rogers took Tyndale's unfinished work and had it printed under the name of the Matthew's Bible by the editors of the Authorized Version. And if it had not been for its Calvinistic, Presbyterian, and Republican footnotes, it probably would still stand as the standard English Bible. Among some of the few examples of the wording that come from the Geneva Bible are, "Except a man be born again. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon and all his glory. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A cloud of witnesses. The ministry of reconciliation." In 1568, another Bible was printed under the leadership of the Archbishop of Canterbury, then Matthew Parker. This Bible was known as the Bishop's Bible because 12 of the 15 men that worked on the translation were bishops of the Anglican Church. The Bishop's Bible was a revision of the Great Bible that tried to incorporate more of the Latin Vulgate and to Latinize, bring in more Latinized church terms. Each bishop worked separately, each being allotted a particular book or books of the Bible. The translation was not very literarily appealing, being filled with Latin phrases, stiff wooden and awkward readings,